come near. Pretty please, can you tell me where I am? You, won't you say something? I need to get my bearings. I'm lost, and the shadows keep on changing.
Hello, welcome to the 8th podcast of The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. As the kids in the hall like to say, I am actor, writer, comedian, Daryl War. I love putting the kids in the hall with Dark Shadows even more now because I realize that the actor who played Barnabas along with those guys are Canadian. So it all works out rather well in this project. I have intentions to let you know when I posted these episodes originally, both in text and in audio form, and I want you to know I am not planning to change any intros because with what I've seen, we need some examples of how weird the internet is or was when all of this came about. I know this episode is in the 45-minute range so far. It's now the 11th of February. I'm hoping to get this out by Valentine's Day, which will be the 2-year anniversary of when I started The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows on fanfiction.net. And, yeah, I've heard the word devoted used towards me quite a number of times. I'll tell you, I sure am. So I'll try to go through my spiel quickly. I don't know how long it's going to be. I finally realized that in order to get support, I should go back to the place where I learned most of these recording skills, which is LibriVox.org. LibriVox.org. If you don't know that website, it is a place in which many public domain books are made into audio recordings by amateurs. Although, I must say, for a number of them, you would hardly know the difference between them and what you might pay almost $50 to get. Really, the folks there are just amazingly splendid. In fact, in my first intro, when I mentioned being pleased if this performance was helping someone go through an injury, a thank you I received was from someone who really enjoyed a Myrtle Reed book I had read, and she had the type of disease that makes me think MS, but I can't remember what it was exactly, so I am very pleased to have helped her out, and perhaps still am. In fact, as I went through that particular book, I understood that Reed's books were rarely the same as the first one I'd done at The Sign of the Jack-O-Lantern, my first and still favorite performance, as you know. I mentioned before, I stagnate, and then when I do something, I go all out, so they usually like to have you do a little test first, or do some short projects first, little one-pieces, poetry, that kind of thing, but not me. I went all out. I did a whole book. That was the first one. I don't think they were too pleased with having to deal with me doing that. And as this project is, fan fiction. I touch fan fiction, and then what do? I do it all. So feel free to look over those works at LibriVox.org. In fact, I did a Johanna Spyri book as I was getting to the 1897 period of Dark Shadows. And in that particular book, there was a character named Judith. And I thought, oh yeah, let's go with a Joan Bennett impression for her. So that might answer a question to listeners of both that and this work. I know that what I've been doing here is extremely different. In a fan letter I'm drafting to a cast member who I shan't name, what I see as far as Dark Shadows fan fiction goes, and I quote myself, so much drugstore paperback trash, the like of which V.C. Andrews never dreamed possible. And it's true. I think with how disposable some of that stuff is, which I won't name either, I can see why people might have been so eager to just take without so much as a thank you. It looks like everyone is just so used to getting it all handed to them. as though it is disposable material. And that's pretty much what I've seen in this experience. So I've been in contact with a number of writers, one of which was one of my silent readers. She has since deeply apologized for that, especially after I told her what I was going through, and I heartily accepted her apology. Really, I was glad to have it. In fact, she said she laughed so hard she almost peed her pants. That was good to know. Now, if you're a listener or a past reader, I want you to know that my author's note in audio form is no joke. And if you are lonely, and perhaps suffering for that, I'm here. I'm more than happy to talk to you. You can email me. You can write reviews on fanfiction.net. Story's back up. Not all of it, but it's back there. I'll go into that a little later. Yeah, I'm going to try and get a social network page up soon. It'll probably be done by the 14th again, because my email account, I'm trying to get something deleted through that same website, and just waiting to see if they give me a confirmation. It's kind of weird with the social network sites, because what I've seen there is everybody just clicks like, and they sort of do it in almost an aloof way, where, you know, it's like, oh, my cat just died, like, you're just like, oh, that's nice. Oh, so sad. It's just like, take a breath. Stop and smell the roses. You know? It's just a strange universe. But at the same time, doing a social network page, what I find interesting about that is I've seen a lot of people want to hang on to their anonymity and their privacy. And I understand that, but the thing about the social network side is you usually put all of your personal details on there to the point where strangers can come in and pretty much deplete your bank account. And I've actually read an article where a friend went and checked with another friend, and he didn't tell the friend what he was doing, or maybe he did, you know, maybe he went and warned him that he actually had enough information that he could get into his bank account. And that's why we need to be careful about these things. So I understand the hypervigilance. I understand the want for privacy, those things I understand, but it's kind of strange to need a social network site to get in touch with people so that they can write to you, and then you can basically find out everything about them anyway. I don't get it. So I'll be putting up some bogus information, as a friend of mine pointed out. It's just, I don't know. Back to the fanfiction world. I want to do a few plugs here, things I don't feel is trash. And when I express it like that, I understand it's okay to enjoy that stuff. I personally like fluff. And in any case, defining those two styles as such isn't so bad. We all like what we like. Anyway, here are a few stories I've gone through a bit that I want to point out. Last summer, it looked like there were a few writers who were looking at the... let's see if we can give this old duffer what he wants, and what I was touched by. There was so much stuff on fanfiction that I didn't want to read, and I saw this thing wonderfully titled A Third Option by EC Inspired. I presume that's how you pronounce it. She is cool with me plugging it, although my contact with her has been extremely brief, so... But it kind of makes sense, because a lot of the chapters are quite short. I even enjoyed it again. I put it on my e-reader and had the computer voice read it, and my spouse and I were wrapping Christmas presents, and we were just laughing at some of the chapters. They were so good. The thing about that story is it's a nip-in-the-bud story, and it has this kind of teamwork where there's a situation going on in the original Dark Shadows, and there's two different ones. You know, there's the Maggie kidnapping, and there's the Jason McQuire blackmailing Elizabeth. And what she managed to do was take those two components of the original series and twist them around so that everything would work out. And I was so grateful that there was one there that was like that. So I recommend A Third Option by EC Inspired, although short communication seems to be what she prefers. Then there is Secrets by Magical Irish Dolphin. Now, this is a nice one piece, and the thing that I noticed about what she does with at least that story, I'm trying to read another one called The Music Box by her, but I haven't been able to get to all of it. What she does is she tries to stick to canon, and I know a lot of people say Dark Shadows doesn't have canon, but For my part, I figure whatever they repeat the most is pretty much the canon. And just like in real life, they're so stressed out they're not getting the facts straight. I mean, you have to admit that that's what we do. We communicate inefficiently and then we go, oh, God, what did I say? Oh, no, I told them that. Now they're going to go. And you just, it is a personal worry. So Secrets is about David and Sarah. And it was really analyzing a lot of old things that had happened. Both David and Sarah seemed to be reflecting on a lot of the things they both had to go through in their friendship. So I really like Secrets a lot, and to promote that. And if you've seen what I've done with The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows on the fanfiction site, if you look at my profile page, it's all there in all its insane glory. And I finally figured out that it was okay to do. Just producing it to all the fandoms and making their own separate version so the fans from multiple different programs would be able to give me their take on it if they wanted to. And I was positive the Ghost of Mrs. Muir people would be the first to review. But then I thought, well, this sort of makes sense because Mrs. Muir shows up by episode 4 and the captain does by episode 5. So they're more or less appeased rather quickly. And so the first one, the first review I got within the first 24 hours after I'd worked on this thing for 2 years. And after, you know, I think it was a year and a half before Helena started to review it and kind of boost my enthusiasm. Within the first day, a reviewer came up from the Addams Family version, which maybe I shouldn't be so surprised because that is a wildly famous show. And he or she, I'm not sure, which at last, the Addams Family appears, and Clue is awesome, and a couple other things. Now, the difference with, I wrote to somebody who did a lovely Morticia story that I'm going to plug. At first, they did the same thing that the Dark Shadows writers did, and other people have done. Do it for you. No, I don't get do it for you. Why post it online if I'm doing it just for me? I'd keep it to myself. And there are parts of other stories I've written that I have kept to myself because I want to talk to people about it. It's changed my life. It really has. So what I noticed with the reviewer for the Addams Family is he or she said, 2 years, that's devoted. You know, no question about what I'd been going through. So warm and welcoming, like within the first 24 hours of me posting it to them. And the other lass I contacted, she at first went with the, you know, you're doing it for you or whatever, or keep going. And then I told her what I'd been through. And she's like, oh, you know, immediately. It was not what I encountered with other writers in the main. So I really appreciated that. And the funny thing is I feel like I should have gone to them sooner. I have a friend who's a big Addams Family fan, and he's been very supportive when he has the time. But the funny thing is that I didn't realize this before. Gomez gets so hot and bothered when Morticia speaks French or whatever other language that she goes into. And I just thought, oh, that's Barnabas and Josette right there. Why not? So I'd love to, if anybody's interested in those other stories, I'd love to go down that road with you. But like I say, I like to have discussion about these things. So get the story that I wanted to plug by that Morticia lass. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly. Autumn Archer? AUTOMNEARCHER, one word. No space. And the one shot she wrote, which is adorable for the Addams Family, is Her Lost Ring. Highly recommended. Not a huge novel or anything. So thank you for that. So as for my story, when it comes to certain characters, I have this terrible feeling that I love them in more severe ways than a lot of people in this fandom. Not just differently. Such as Barnabas Collins. I mean, geez. Everyone seems to adore this guy, but it doesn't sound like a lot of people have ever really listened to him and his concerns. Well, I did, and because I did, my marriage has not only been saved, but has become a lot more loving and eager than I expected. However, I know many people out there get their kicks in different ways, so I won't argue any point of absolutism on that. Like I said about Barnabas, I just... the one-night stand thing and everything that he went through as a result of that, as much, along with everyone else. It does. It happens to the best of us, and you can't get too hard on the guy. Just, especially back then. It was definitely not unknown to have a fling with the household help. And at least it was consensual. God, Lord. And let's not go down that avenue. Like I said, that's the part of history I don't like looking at. Willie Loomis. I know, like I said in my second intro, there are intensely strong fans of his. I don't think you may have encountered what I've been through with that character. I do not like seeing him getting hurt at all. I went to a clip on YouTube to try and get his voice down, and unfortunately it was one where Jason was giving him a bloody nose, and really, I feared for my screen. I really did. I do not like to watch him abused. I think his character has been through enough of that. There might be older stuff where he's a total scuzzbucket, so maybe then I won't mind. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm not looking forward to it. So if you want to send me a Willie Loomis story, it better be one where he's kicking butt and not getting the lower hand on things. Now, here is the tender part. When it comes to Julia Hoffman, I think a lot of you may seriously be shocked at how I feel about her. I have listened to the characters on the program, and as far as I'm concerned, this entire Julia slash Barnabas business has really taken the cake for this fandom. Not only does it look like Barnabas really doesn't appreciate her enough, but it also looks like many Julia fans believe she deserves such a man who gives her that treatment. Hardly, I believe, that she does. I find her character to be far better than deserving that. Also, I think, from what I've deduced, that Julia fans have been pushing around anyone who wanted to see something different. And frankly, when it comes to the militancy I've witnessed, I can express to you right now that I've been through the ringer with bullies, getting picked on, ad nauseum, and I don't care if the following for what I'm doing is small. I'm more than happy to dish out more than just pop culture references. As far as psychology is concerned, and my experience with it, I have plenty of knowledge on that score. I've got my readings of Steinbeck, Watts, Campbell, and Carl Jung. So really, when it comes to Hoffman, I don't think her character has been treated fairly, and I'm disappointed when I see that so few fans can look at a male-female relationship and not see only friendship. That blows my mind, too. And I've gone over quite a few blogs, quite a few reviews of some of these fans, some of their takes on the whole situation. So the Julia slash Barnabas absolutists. I don't mean to be harsh. I won't simply not welcome you. I won't tolerate you either. From what I've read, you've done more than enough damage to people who wanted to see something different, bossing them around, and I don't care if it is a small faction. This is a first world problem, and I'm prepared to just carry on with this. I mean, what's the big deal? And I have searched for stories like the one that I'm doing, and the one that I'm doing, it is a Barnabas story, but I'm trying to get everything down. That's one of the reasons that I think this is so different, because making it into a radio drama, you have a way of setting up different scenes, like in the original program, where you set things up and so you could see what's happening with different people. And so I'm trying to get everybody, at least in the main, figured out. A lot of problem solving. So it's very different, obviously. And I haven't really seen that anywhere else, where you're working with pretty much all of the characters. In fact, one thing that I'd really like to do in the future, if I can get through the Jennings period, now that I have the series, that was an experience that had us with a lot of gaps, which I think is why I've been bulking at this period where I've brought Tom in, because I'm trying to remember everything that happened and just sort of rearrange it. So with where we were getting the discs, we really lost a lot of the storyline. We'd go to look online to see what was going on. It was just so murky. But one of the things that I'd really like to do is work Sabrina out, because I was just thinking, Julia, the one time that you could bring your medallion out to help somebody out, and what did you do? You just brought out the little black bag. So I'm hoping to get Julia to sort out Sabrina. And frankly, what I want to do with Sabrina is have her wake up and slap that annoying brother of hers. I just totally want to get there. Poor Sabrina. It's that kind of thing. You know, there are elements of Dark Shadows that I just am dying to fix. And it's not just Barnabas's problems. It's everyone's problems. Like with what I said in the blooper reel about Elizabeth and Lily going to find a possible paramour for Elizabeth that she might have had around World War II. I really enjoy the idea that not only the possible conception of Victoria Winters can be blamed on Lily Munster, but also we can give her the credit. I think it's adorable. Because when it comes to Lily, she is definitely admired, I think, higher than almost anyone on the Munsters. And I've seen some interesting photographs of a not-so-clothed Lily. And so she sort of wins out as far as that goes. And she helps people out. Now, what I've noticed with some of the other shows and movies, such as like Clue, The Addams Family, any of the ones that are more lighthearted, they incorporate into this Dark Shadow story a lighter heart. And I think that's why I have more bloopers of the Dark Shadows characters being funny, because it's a shock. If you get the characters who are already funny from these other shows, it's not as hard to do because you already know. But when I make the Dark Shadows characters funny, it's so funny, because they are not usually like that at all. So in combining this into what I finally discovered is a multi-fandom, I noticed that the Dark Shadows crew gets uplifted a bit. But because all the other shows are integrating with Dark Shadows, they start to become a lot darker. There are some things coming up with Morticia that really astounded me, what I got out of her. And Wadsworth, I think, got a whole lot darker than he is in the original Clue movie, especially when he was giving Barnabas a hard time about all the people that he was messing with in the second episode. So it kind of goes up and down there. It's a very weird thing that I have here. And when Willie Loomis arrives, there's a lot of fun, but there's also certain things coming where he has to face what's happened to him, which I really think with Mr. Loomis is good, because, like I said, I can see where he would be a scuzzbucket, and then when he becomes the victim of a vampire in the original show, something turns him around, and what I see with that is he has to face his flaws that people know about him. Like, they're not going to listen to all of his troubles, because he's never proven himself to be a good guy. He comes under this hypnotic power of Barnabas Collins. And so what happens to him that I've analyzed is he becomes empathetic. He starts to recognize that this situation is so bad, he understands that other people have feelings. So I'm pushing that envelope even further with Mr. Loomis. And that's the change that I want to see with him quite a bit. I don't want to do too much stuttering with him. I know that he does a lot. And I don't want to do that so much because I think other people who have stuttering problems, or once did, aren't going to be helped by listening to me do it. So I think that's it. What we have for this upcoming episode, I think it's going to get to the point where you won't need me to give you any kind of summary. You're just going to know the story so well that it won't make a difference. So for episode 8, we have the first Willie scene. At Wincliffe with Dr. Hoffman and Professor Stokes, and they introduce an added element to his treatment. Tony and Carolyn arrive at the Evans Cottage to discover there is more to the painting of Captain Daniel Gregg than they thought at first. Peter and Victoria analyze their host's relationship and its glowing health, however odd their household is. And when you think about it, it makes sense. I was told that Gomez and Morticia were the most healthy couple on television around that time, and I wouldn't be surprised if they still are, in all their weirdness. Nicholas Blair encounters a few surprises in search of Angelique, who he eventually finds. And I hope you like that, because the way that I worked it out ended up being a little funny. And, they kind of grouse at each other, which one could expect. So Tony and Carolyn wrap up the evening in more or less steamy enjoyment. I hope that you like that. In fact, I have one of the signs. It's a huge pile, so don't just invalidate this, because there are more to come. I went to the market, and I was listening to an old recording of this episode, and the song at the end I was listening to, I walked into the market, and it began on the overhead. And I thought, okay, this is just bizarre, especially after other things that I had experienced. And then I wandered around doing my shopping, and a lot of the people were blissfully singing along, pushing their shopping carts. And I was like, okay, what is the universe trying to tell me? You know, because I was just listening to the episode and the song, and there I am in the market, and it's playing overhead, and everybody's happily just going with it, and they're enjoying themselves. And it was very interesting. I got to the checkout line, and I talked about how this had affected me, and the cashier, he was interested in the project, and he said, let me know when you get it up. I really do want to know. Now, I don't think he's had time for it, because I think he was of the mind that it was just text, and that seems to be the further confusion. It's actually both. You know, I'm doing this version, and I'm doing the text, and I'm doing them in tandem. So I don't know, maybe when I see him again, I'll just say, hey, I've got the text back up, so go ahead and have at it. But what's nice about this is that some people don't want to read radio script. And so then, here is the audio version. Anyway, so as for the episode, Barnabas and Maggie, after their non-date at the Blue Whale, I arrive at the old house and are not doing so well. They're not doing bad, but they're, well, you can imagine after a night at the Blue Whale, your head's not exactly clear, and it's not a big scene, but I think it's kind of cute. Take care.